Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, let me read you something. I was sitting at a stoplight this morning. The lady in front of me was going through papers on the seat of her car, and when the light changed to green, she did not obey its command. A green light is a commandment, not a suggestion. When the light turned to red and she had still not moved, I began with my windows up, screaming epithets and beating on my steering wheel. My expressions in distress were interrupted by a policeman, gun drawn, tapping on my window. Against my protestations of, "You can't arrest me for hollering in my car," he ordered me in the back seat of his. After about 2 hours in a holding cell, the arresting officer advised me that I was free to go. I said, "I knew you couldn't arrest me for what I was yelling in my own car. You haven't heard the last of this." The officer replied, "I didn't arrest you for shouting in your car. I was directly behind you at the light. I saw you screaming and beating your steering wheel. And I said to myself, what a jerk. But there's nothing I can do to him for throwing a fit in his own car." Then I noticed the cross hanging from your rearview mirror, the bright yellow Choose Life license tag, the Jesus is Coming Soon bumper sticker, and the fish symbol, and I thought you must have stolen the car. So, be careful what you give someone grounds for. All right, the title of today's message is POW. Now, this word shows up in cartoons and some programs. Maybe one of the most famous is Someday Alice, pow, right in the kisser. Jackie Gleason playing Ralph Cramden in The Honeymooners. But when you think back about that and on that, that one especially, you couldn't write that in any script today. And we laughed for 40 years about that one in this country. But there are a lot of women that don't think that's very funny, because the someday comes for a lot of women, and oddly enough, the someday comes for some men. And tragically enough, that someday comes for little kids. And I'm not exactly sure who this is for today, but sometimes I think it is very important to address subjects and to make us aware. If you look at the research and surveys, and if you've ever seen a child with more than enough bruises, and the explanation that they give is not very good, and falling down doesn't do that to your face and your arms and your legs. Or if you've ever seen a woman with sunglasses on trying to avoid people look down, and you ask, "Are you okay?" or "What's wrong?" and the fear of losing their family. And what is so strange, I grew up around a man that he was not beating his wife. His wife was beating him. And you say, "Well, that's not possible. Women don't beat men." And let me tell you something. It happens every day. And there are women out there who abuse their own husbands, and their husbands, what, they don't have a leg to stand on. They get punched and kicked. And this guy almost every day got kicked and punched in the night and just random acts of violence. Now, my question would be in here, specifically in anybody listening today, and don't tune me out. You say, "Well, this doesn't apply to me." You may need to listen to be aware and pray for people and keep your eyes and ears open. And there may be someone today who's listening and you say, "Well, but you know, you're talking about somebody else. That's not me. I spank my kids." We've talked about that in here recently. The importance of disciplining your children, not punishing them, but disciplining them, and not sparing the rod, not using your hand. Children, and I'm going to try to be as vulnerable today without being as critical of my own dad, but I grew up in a house with a 6'9", 260 something pound man. And I remember vividly as a small child, my basic fear was not, could this man hurt me? My fear was, this man could kill me. Because he was so large and his hands were so huge and his voice was so low. And he'd get all that going. And if he got mad enough, somehow in my little brain, I thought, if this man goes off and gets a little bit too angry, and he'd spank me, and sometimes he'd spank me a little bit too hard. He'd discipline me. Sometimes it felt more like punishment. Now, my dad and I have worked through all this. I don't hold this against my dad. He's a great man. He's taught me many things. But there were moments in my life as a child where it was absolute terror. And for some reason, I woke up in the middle of the night, and you better pray before you go to sleep, because the enemy doesn't sleep. God doesn't sleep, but the enemy doesn't sleep either. And he will come after your mind. If he can't get you during the day, he'll get you during the night. And some of you know. I woke up and something had happened that day or the day before that had triggered some things in my mind, in my past, in my memory. And something had happened in this dream and my dad and I were in it and he had me somehow and had me with his fist and was punching me and punching me. Now, this is not something my father's ever done. I woke up and looked around the room. I was so stinking scared that it was real. I looked at my own house, my own room, and got awake enough to go, okay, I'm at home, I'm in my bed, I'm not going to die. Now, whatever triggered that and wherever that came from, it is a terrible, frightening kind of thing. And there are people here today and listening today who have lived through something like this. And you may have lived through having it happen to you, or you may have lived through doing this to someone, or you may be right now a perpetrator of domestic violence or child abuse of some kind, and you have justified this behavior saying, well, that's just how I was disciplined, that's how I disciplined. And if you ever got caught on video, you'd be thrown in jail because there's a line that gets crossed. And children are terrorized, and husbands and wives are both ways. And you say, well, that's just how my wife and I argue. She pushes me and I push her and we buy cheap plates so we can throw them at each other. But you know what? There are certain things that are just not normal. And we create normalcy because we don't know any different. And sometimes we grow up in homes and say, well, this must just be the way everybody is. It happens this way at my house. I just guess every dad's doing this to their kids. And this is how all parents discipline. And all moms get pushed around. And you just let it go. I recommend that you sit down and have a conversation with two or three other people and say, you know what, is this normal? Do you and your husband fight? Do you and your boyfriend fight this way? How many girls get involved with guys, and it can go either way, but it seems it's more that the guys are doing this to girls, and things go completely berserk and violent, and girls don't know how to get out of these relationships and are terrified. I've dealt with women who a guy would say to her, if you break up with me, I'll kill you. Literally, I'll kill you. And they are so terrified because they believe him that they stay in their relationship and they stick and go through the abuse that comes with that, sexual abuse, physical abuse. I don't know who you are or if you're out here exactly what this is for. And I'm not suggesting, I mean, there are terrible things that happen linked to this. There are kids who on a whim pick up the phone and call, you know, Child Protective Services and say, so-and-so's beating me, and they destroy a home when it's not even happening. I'm not saying do this lightly. If you sense this is going on with a woman or a man or a child especially, there is a time and a place to do this. Now, there are scriptures, and I'm going to read you one of them, that you say, well, what do you do with this? Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and following. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is Jesus talking. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, how do you reconcile Jesus saying, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also? Is that what a woman's supposed to do when a husband hits her? Is that what a man's supposed to do? Does this apply to marriage? Does this apply to children? Or is this a principle? And I do believe it applies to some specific things. It says in verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, in a lot of cases, I think this applies to strangers. The last one in particular was talks about going a mile. A Roman soldier, if he were carrying his pack down a freeway, a highway, a road, and came to you on the road, and you were coming the other direction, he could compel you. He could say, take my pack and carry it a mile. By law, he could make you go a mile the other direction and then have to come back the mile you had already gone and go on your journey. But what Jesus says, if someone compels you to go a mile, then when you get to the 1 mile marker, stop. He thinks it's over. He said, you know what? I'll go another mile. Now you've gone 4 miles out of your way, 2 miles backwards and 2 miles to pick up where you left off. Instead of retaliating, you retaliate by not retaliating. Now, I believe this is in instances where you really have no control over what happens. There are situations in life, relationships in life, where you don't have control over that situation and something happens to you. And as you'll see in a minute, your ultimate example on this is Jesus. If Jesus, of all people, God and a man, if anybody could have stopped what happened, Jesus could have stopped it. He had the power to think thoughts and speak words and bring down legions of angels on his enemies, but he did not do that. Now, speaking of him, let me read you some verses. In Matthew chapter 26, and there's things that have triggered this for me, and there are things about the crucifixion, about his trial, and all this stuff that went on with just Jesus himself that we read through, and it's so horrific, it's so tough to read, we just blow through and miss out on specific things. One of the things that's brought this up for me is someone that I know is dealing with Mel Gibson about a movie called Passion. This movie is made. His father's getting death threats. This movie is rated R, and it depicts basically the trial and the crucifixion of Christ, and it's rated R for violence. And most of us have this image of Jesus' crucifixion of, you know, carrying a cross, and he looks a little battered, a little bit of blood coming down his face, and, you know, we have these scenes of him up there, and, you know, boom, boom, these sounds of nails going into his hand, and it's really pretty tame, because that's about all we can handle. This individual that I know has seen about 20 minutes of it, and it is more than you can ever begin to imagine. And he said before you ever get to the cross, that Jesus is 3/4 of the way dead. When you think about what he went through, the beatings, the whippings, the crown, he said the crown on his head, and if you're carrying a cross and you fall over, you fall on the crown, and it embeds that crown even farther in your head. I mean, it should be rated R. The whole movie, there's no subtitles, and it's all in original languages, so all you do is sit and listen and watch. And the story of Jesus is so clear, you don't need to understand the words. You can see what he did, and the people that have seen it walk out just saying, I can't believe he did that for me. Let me read you some of these verses, beginning with Matthew 26:57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. It's interesting what he went to see, the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. The religious people, this is not any government people, this is religious people, but they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, the fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing what it is these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God, if he had just known who he was talking to. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus speaks. Jesus said to him, it is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. Do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face. Now, anybody ever spit in your face? That is humiliating enough. But let's imagine you are being asked some questions, almost interrogated at your church by your pastor, and you're in his office, and he starts asking questions, and you finally fess up or say whatever it is they want you to say, and then he gets up and spits in your face and then starts hitting you. There's certain places you just expect more of people. These religious people, they spat in his face and they beat him. The word here for beat is to strike with the fist, give one a blow with the fist, to maltreat, treat with violence, and beat him up, basically. And it's not just the religious leaders, it's the soldiers as well. Now, I want you to think about this for a reason today. Have you ever been mad enough where you wanted to just punch somebody's lights out? I don't want hands on this. How many of you, how many of you have punched somebody's lights out? There may be some people in here. But either you're intoxicated when you hit somebody and you can blame it on the alcohol, or such rage, such anger has to well up inside of you that something inside you makes a fist and you want to punch somebody. What did this guy do to deserve these religious leaders getting completely out of control, spitting on him, and start punching on him? You have got to be out of control for it to get to that point. They spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him. This other word, strike, is to smite with a rod or a staff, to smite in the face with the palm of the hand, to box the ears. They were so angry with Jesus that they wanted a piece of him. They wanted him dead, but not only dead, they were taking out all their anger, their frustration, their animosity, the fact that he was, you know, they did not want Jesus to be the Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, because they were nobody in his framework, in his world. They didn't measure up. They were hypocrites. He called them that. They wanted Jesus gone off the planet. So the others struck him with the palm of their hand, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Tell us who struck you." Now, this is going on. I'll read you another passage in a minute. In John chapter 18, let me read you this one. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always met, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Are those who have heard me and what I said to them? Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" And then you go over one of the places where he's before Pilate in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him with their hands." He was beaten probably beyond recognition, swollen eyes, the crown of thorns in his head, before they ever crucified him. And for what? For innocence. Because of you, because of me. Now, I really don't know how you get this mindset when this kind of stuff's happening to you before you've even been crucified, where you allow it to keep coming and you allow it to keep coming and you don't retaliate, you don't respond. And I understand the worst case scenario is with a small child who cannot defend itself. And I know a little bit about that fear, even the anticipation of the possibility of that fear of something like that happen. But there are kids in our city and around the world this day who, before they sleep tonight, something like this is going to happen to them. There are adults, there are situations that we get in. And I don't know what this fine line is. My dad told a story years ago about a woman in Brazil where he was missionary down there, and this woman became a Christian, and she told her husband, she said, "I'm going to church." And he said, "If you go to church, I'll beat you." And she would get up on Sundays and go to church knowing full well that when she came home, that man was going to beat her. And every Sunday he would beat her for going to church. And somehow she stayed with him. Then she came home and said, "I'm going to be baptized." And he said, "If you get baptized, I will kill you." And she knew he was serious. The day came for her baptism. It was done in a little riverbank. And this woman went to this riverbank, and her husband showed up and had a gun, literally had a gun. She went out in the water with the pastor to be baptized, and he started walking toward the water as though he was going to go take his wife's life. He put the gun down and walked out in the river and said to the pastor and to his wife, "If you are willing to die for this Jesus, then I need him," and accepted Christ and was baptized at the same time with his wife. Now, how do you reconcile that? If a woman came to me and said, "My husband's beating me, he says he's going to kill me if this, that," do I say to her, "Stay"? How do you reconcile all these verses? And at what point do you walk away? At what point do you stay? How much abuse can you take or do you take? If it's a child, I think clearly you protect the child. If it's a woman, if it's a man, I know a guy right now who's living this and he's trying to work it out. And he doesn't hit back, he gets hit. You say, "We ought to get out of there." This is a very tough book. And when these things become reality in somebody's life, namely your own, it is very difficult to know what to do. But you're not going to make it in these situations, through these situations, without having some kind of relationship with this God. Because without God, you will not make it. But you can survive whatever's happened to you. You can survive whatever you've done to someone else by reconciling with them. And I will throw this in here, not parenthetically, having been terrorized a little bit as a kid and knowing what that feels like, I recommend that if you are a parent, an uncle, or whatever it is you've done to somebody, it is worth picking up the phone, preferably going in person if you can, and sitting down with somebody and say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You have no idea the impact that can have on somebody's life. Just some resolution for that person to know they weren't losing their mind. It was not okay. And you think, well, but I can't do that. I'm too proud to do that. It ain't going to help you to live with it, and it's going to help them to live with it any longer. It's worth saying something. Now, you say, well, what are you saying? To be honest with you, I'm not sure. And whereas in one case, I might look at a woman, let's say, who's being abused and beaten and going through this, and I'd say, you know what, get out of there. And that woman might look back at me and say, you know what, I've been reading these verses and my husband's lost. And if I leave him, I'll never get him. I love my husband. I'm going to hang in there based on these things. You say, well, that's foolishness. Then you're going to have a little talk with Jesus too. Now, I'm not saying stay and I'm not saying go, but these things you're going to have to hammer out because you have a personal relationship with God. And each situation, for some reason, is different. Sometimes you need to be separated. You need to get away and talk through these things. But there are a lot of people out there getting divorced. It's boom, something happened and I'm out of here. And a lot of the stuff that they're getting divorced over is not in the scriptures. And women come or men come and say, well, they committed adultery. I'm out of here. Unfaithfulness is grounds for divorce, but it does not require divorce. Violence may, in your mind, be grounds for divorce, but it is not required. You may get help. Your husband may get help. Your wife may get help. And there's reconciliation. I don't believe it's possible without God long term. But ask yourself, God, what can you do in this situation? And how can you heal my heart if I've been through this? Or how can you heal my heart and the heart of the people that I've done this to through this process? Now you say, well, all that applies. None of that applies. I can't do it. Part of the reason you may not be able to do it is because you don't know this God and you don't know what He's capable of if He lives in you and through you and what His power is and how He can change a heart and how He can change a life and heal a heart and heal a life. And it may need to start with a relationship with Him and get a grip and understand why He was beaten and why He was whipped and why He was crucified and why He suffered to take some of this pain on Himself that we have, and for us to be able to connect with Him in some way through our suffering.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. And where some of these things that we talk about and some of these things we see in the scriptures are so difficult, Father, it's beyond difficult. It is absolutely impossible. And first of all, today, Lord, for anybody who doesn't know you, Father, that they are trapped in a relationship, in a situation, and they're afraid, and they're terrorized, or they're terrorizing someone, and they need help on either side of that equation. They need forgiveness. They need mercy. They need strength. They need help, Lord. They need a relationship with you in order to make it through this. And they understand, maybe for the first time in their lives, why you suffered, why you died. And though you suffered and died to pay for our sin, you were buried and raised from the dead, and the Father raised you up. And now you're seated at the right hand of His throne, making intercession for us. Father, we do need you. We thank you for making yourself available to us through Jesus and what He did that day. And I pray the power that raised Jesus from the dead would be manifest in our lives as we deal with difficult issues in our minds, in our hearts, and even physically in some cases, Lord. And Father, for those that are dealing with issues of either being perpetrators or being violated themselves in some way, or know of situations and are just afraid to pick up the phone or tell someone what's going on, and literally someone's life could be at stake, Lord, I pray that you'd give them wisdom and strength and the courage to go to you first, but then to act accordingly and do what needs to be done in order for someone's life not to be taken or at least harmed in a dramatic way. Father, thank you for taking on our pain and our sorrow and our suffering. And though we may suffer as well, Lord, help us better identify with you through that in some way and understand who you are and what you're all about and how you are trying to work these things out in our lives. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.